Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
After the failure of last season's celebrity introductions, when we were mumbled at by Bob Dylan, "Ee-wee," spat at by Sean Connery,
"Yesh, mesh, meshy, pushy,"
grunted at by Sylvester Stallone,
and almost 84,
as well as those celebs who never made the cut, like comedian John Bishop,
comedian John Bishop,
the great Austrian oak, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
"Come with me if you don't want me to shag your maid,"
and the king himself, Elvis Presley.
"Thank you very much."
So having reached the very bottom of the pile, this week's celebrity is Britain's chief buffoon, bumbling embarrassment, and, oh, this hurts to say, Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
"Bah, by jingo, wah! What? I say, is that your wife? Rather."
"No, Boris, that's not my wife. That's your own shadow."
"Ah, I say, is there a Mrs. Shadow? Wah!"
Oh, dear God. So, Bojo, can you tell the listeners why they should sign up to Patreon on Murder Mile?
"So, as Androcles said at the Mountain of Thebes, Sodorochi, by Gino what?
You're not answering the question.
"Ah, but I am. Romanes and Domino's Pizza's Canis, wibble wibble by Jingo, wah!"
"Aha, I see. And is that it?"
"No, I have, wah, a little message to the lady listeners of Murder Mile. I say, rather, subscribe to Patreon, and I promise not to shag you, or your shadow, your pets, your letterbox, or any hole in your home, unless it's rather. And that, wah, is a Bojo promise."
"Aha. So, if they sign up to Murder Mile today on Patreon, instead of telling them about all the goodies they'll receive, you've promised not to boff them."
"Ah, well, I said I'd try."
"You promised to try?"
No. I never said promise."
"You did. You just said, that's a Bojo promise."
"Wah, shittus maximus. Dang it. Hoist by my own petard. Oh, by jingo, it's twosies. Time for my early mid-afternoon shag. Ta-ta!"
"Boris! Boris! Boris!" God help us all. So if you'd like to stop Bojo the Clown from producing any more illegitimate offspring, subscribe to Murder Mile on Patreon today, and you'll receive loads of lovely items to take your mind off the shambolic state of our country and the large hole in our economy.
"Wah, a large hole. Rather."
"No, Bojo, you can't shag that. Although you are giving it a bloody good try. So before Bojo shags anything else, there's this. Friends, welcome to Mini Mile, your indispensable compendium of UK true crime trivia. This week, we'll ask who lives with the same name as an infamous serial killer, how do you determine the age and sex of human remains, how do you fill a day in prison, what are some of the strangest deaths, and we ask who was London's worst robber. And with only a few short weeks until the brand new Murder Mile multi-part series, here's this week's episode of Mini Mile. So let's kick things off with a little
How do you do?
We're learning more about some infamous murderers and serial killers on a more social level. This week, which poor unfortunates were born with the same name as a serial killer? Often I've made a little joke that Steve Wright, the Suffolk Strangler and Ipswich Ripper, can easily be confused with the highly respected BBC Radio 2 DJ, Steve Wright.
Steve Wright in the afternoon.
But there are loads of other Steve Wrights for him to be confused with. So, here goes. Number 1. Steve Wright. The Suffolk Strangler, convicted of 5 counts of murder in 2006. He also has a namesake who was a former NFL offensive tackler for the American football team, the Green Bay Packers. Steve Wright was also a professional baseball pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, a bassist for the Greg Kine Band, a former English football player, manager and trainer for Bolton Wanderers, Norwich City and Brighton and Hove Albion, and a former professional footballer for these teams, Colchester United, Braintree Town, Wrexham, Torquay United, Crewe Alexander, Rhyl, Chelmsford City, Wivenhoe Town and Harwich and Parkstone. Oh yes, all the big teams. But there is also a Steve Wright, who works as a course leader in fashion design at the University of South Wales, an operations manager at Golf Buggies GB in Wakefield, head of medical services and physiotherapy for Southampton Football Club, and my personal favourite, chief executive officers of Christie's London. No, not that Christie's. And he is in charge of expensive hats. Number 2. Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper, murderer of 13 women between 1975 and 1980. His namesakes include a former English footballer for Manchester United, a famous racing driver, a supply chain manager for Tasty Products Limited in Auckland, the editor of a special needs magazine in Lanarkshire, an area officer for the Salvation Army in central Queensland, and a pastor, no, not like Tagliatelle, but the type of pastor who gets drunk on Charing Cross Road and abuses paramedics by shouting,
"I've got immunity from the Vatican!"
There is also a pastor in Queensland called Peter Sutcliffe. Number 3. Stephen Port, the Grinder Killer. Convicted of 4 murders so far, and although he worked as a chef in a Deptford bus garage, his namesakes are also a karate black belt in Minneapolis, an audit manager at a company that I read as ACAST, so I assume that his job was probably to organise the cocaine. But there are also 2 Stephen Ports who work as chefs in the Swindon area. And according to those in the know, there are currently 26 Stephen Ports on the gay dating app Grindr. Oh, aren't people witty. Number 4. Dennis Nielsen. Ah, Dennis. Serial killer, civil servant, and mulled winemaker. But his many namesakes include a former wannabe Republican senator. There is also a Dennis Nielsen with a PhD in politics in Washington, an adjunct lecturer at Molloy College in New York, director of Sealand Region in Denmark, and most frighteningly of all, there is a Dennis Nielsen who is a debt collector in Guildford. Number 5. Ted Bundy, the crazy lady's favourite. His namesakes include Vice President of Marketing at Samsung Electronics in New Zealand, a senior lawyer in Wichita, Kansas, a supervisor at Ollie's Bargain Outlet in North Fort Myers, Florida, a home building inspector in Tampa, Florida, and a reflexologist in London. Number 6. Ian Brady, the Moors murderer. His namesakes include a Bitcoin trader in Wichita, a customer service manager in the Wirral, a horse stud manager in Toowoomba, Australia.
G'day mate, let's get those horses shagging. But first, a beer.
Ian Brady is also a bus driver for Greyhound in Ontario, Canada. And most bafflingly of all, a man with the same name as Ian Brady, the infamous child murderer, is also a professional nanny and babysitter in Gloucester. Honestly, mate, change your name. Number 7. Rose West, The serial killer, who with her husband Fred, participated in the murder of her own 8-year-old stepdaughter, Charmaine. Her namesakes include a risk consultant in Detroit, a surgical scheduler in New York Hospital, a special education teacher at a school in Ilford, and a personal health coach in, yes, that place has popped up again, Tampa, Florida. Number 8. Rose's husband Fred, who was a plasterer and a handyman. His namesakes include a strategic planner for the Jesus Film Project in California, an education consultant in North Carolina, and you couldn't make it up, a self-employed landlord and handyman in Cambridgeshire. Number 9. Jeffrey Dahmer, the rapist, murderer, and cannibal of 17 young men and boys. There is a Jeffrey Dahmer who is an engineer at IBM in California, a cashier at Sam's Club in Cedar Park, Texas, a UPS driver in Kitchener, Canada.
Open up, it's Jeffrey Dahmer, I've got something for you.
And oddly enough, there is a Jeffrey Dahmer from Georgetown in Texas, who works in human resources. Yes, I'll repeat that for you. There is a man with the same name as the Milwaukee Cannibal, who works in human resources. And finally, number 10, John Reginald Christie,
Lothario, tea maker, and star of Murder Mile.
Now, there is only one John Reginald Halliday Christie, and very few John Reginald Christies, but there are quite a few John Christies, such as John Christie, the chief executive officer of Tesco's International in Thailand.
I wondered if you'd like a nice Thai green curry.
The Assistant Attorney General for the District of Columbia, the Legislative Director of the US House of Representatives, CEO of Christie's International Real Estate, honestly, if you buy property with them, check the back garden first, the Secretary of Gloucester Speakers Club, and John Christie is also a doctor at St Martin's Village Medical Centre in Sydney, Australia. John Christie is also a Scottish footballer, a goalkeeper for Southampton, an artist, a climate change scientist at the University of Alabama, an architect for the Southern Pacific Railroad, principal of the Jesus College in Oxford, minister of the Church of Scotland, former mayor of Johannesburg, recipient of the Victoria Cross, and an American engineer and inventor of the Christie suspension system as used by tanks during World War II. Oh, and if you're wondering, although Bojo the Clown is currently our Prime Minister, there was also a Boris Johnson, who was a local authority specifier at York Council.
Bah! I specify this as a local authority, by jingo!
A cleaner at McDonald's in Brighton.
Ah, I just need to clean the ladies' loo again. Rather.
An astronaut for NASA.
Wow! I'll be the first man to hump on the moon!
And as he was born, not in the UK, but in the US of A, there is a chance that he could be the next US president.
Ah, America! That's 160 million ladies! Wow! Right there!
Oh dear, you poor buggers. And whilst we're taking a little hiatus between Murder Mile, for those who are missing Extra Mile, here's a little nugget of nonsense to tide you over. Cake. I really miss cake. And biscuits. And chocolate. And now, back to the show. Now it's time to get technical.
Let's get technical!
And by technical, I don't mean how it feels to go through security questions with your online bank when they ask, "What's your mother's name?" Only for you to panic and say, "I don't know. I thought her full name was Mum." What's your first pet? As you try to recall the goldfish you succeeded in not killing for 2 weeks, age 3, as the real answer is shamefully, "I had head lice." What was the first place you lived? To which everyone should answer, the womb? And other such bullshit questions you hastily answered 2 decades ago, thinking you'll never need them. When in truth, if your security questions were things like, "What's your worst drunken moment, your biggest shameful shag, and your most embarrassing purchase?" we'd all zing through the security questions. But sadly, it's not. So let's hot wash off the dirt, fluff and stains of those CSR-style crime shows and ask, how exactly does it work? This week, how do you age and date remains?
Rather!
No, Boris, not date like that. After a human being has deceased, and his or her body has passed through the first three stages of decomposition, autolysis, bloating, active decay, and into the fourth, having become skeletonized, a more detailed explanation can be found in Murder Mile 4. The human body lacks many of the identifying details which can define their age or sex, but there are steps used by pathologists to determine it. Sex. The sex of human remains can only truly be determined once a person has reached adolescence, when the body matures and becomes more defined in terms of muscularity and sexuality. As although the bones in males tend to be bigger than in females, this is not always the case. One key bone where this is an exception is the pelvis. A female pelvis is angled at more than 90 degrees, which allows for childbirth, whereas a man's is a lot less. And the pelvic inlet, the center of the pelvis, is a lot larger and denser in females. There is also other skeletal differences between adult males and females. The acetabulum, also known as the pelvic socket, which secures the head of the femur. This is larger in men. Men's chins also tend to be squarer, whereas women's tend to be more pointed. Men's foreheads slant slightly backwards, whereas women's are more rounder. And females don't have brow ridges on their foreheads.
Wow, useful to know. Although, I'm not fussy. Wow.
Age. Thanks to advances in modern anthropology, you can determine the age of a person's remains, not just by the bones, but also by the eyes. An effective tool for pathologists is radiocarbon dating. Previously used to determine the age of organic matter like trees, by working out the decline in its radiation levels, as radiation decays at an exact rate, the same system can be used in bones and eyes. During the course of our lives, the human body is exposed to levels of radiation, and these are retained in microscopic proteins inside the human eye, which are known as crystallines. These crystallines stop growing when you're about 2 years old. So as is done with trees, a person's age can be determined by the decay of the radiation in the crystallines of the eyes. Eyes decay early during the first three stages of decomposition, so the quicker after death that they can be examined, the better. One slight anomaly, which has to be taken into account when carbon dating bones or eyes, is that during the 1960s and 1970s, during the height of the Cold War, with so many countries testing nuclear weapons, the air contained much higher levels of radiation, and because of that, so do our eyes, bones and skin. But then again, I'm guessing in years to come, pathologists will simply be able to determine a person's age by seeing how much wear and tear their texting finger has, the levels of Botox in their face, the proportion of sperms to Viagra in their balls, the alcohol content of their liver, especially if they hate their jobs, how many years they've been dating Eva Green, based on how worn down to the nub their willy is, and if they're a murder walk tour guide in Soho, how much crack they've ingested, having been accosted by junkies. Oh yes, sometimes it's a lovely job. Right. Now, as I'm so impoverished that every time I walk into the bank, the cashier weeps. When I donate a pint of blood to the NHS, they give me back three. When I appeared on daytime TV drivel show, Cash in the Attic, the host, a poor man's lovejoy, left £50 behind my sofa. And out of sympathy, the sperm clinic pays me a tenner a pop for a pot of my man spooge. Even though I'm so old, it's less like a sticky gloop and is more like a popped bag of sherbet. I'm so poor, I can't even afford to buy Eva Green some shoes. But to be honest, who can? She's got a shoe closet which could bankrupt a Saudi billionaire. So being so broke, I'm having to supplement my meagre income by getting a proper job. Well, I say proper job. I've got an interview with my podcast host, Acast. So here goes. Wish me luck. Hi, it's Mike.
Goody, goody, goody. Book, book, book.
Oh, I should point out, Acast is a Swedish company. And this is the boss. Björn Benny van Bork Abba IKEA Meatballs. Or whatever his name is. Thankfully, or maybe not, this is all being translated by the sales monkey.
So, the boss just said, Hiya, Acast boss here.
Hello, Acast boss. Thank you for interviewing me.
Goody, goody, goody.
Ah, he says, yeah, whatevs. Let's get this over and done with, as I've got a date with six sumo sex workers who love mainlining herring-flavoured vodka jelly shots in my in-house miniature pony sex dungeon. Well, it is a Tuesday. So to see if you're Acast material, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay, I'm ready.
Question one. What makes a good employee at Acast?
That's a tough one. But I'd have to say, punctuality?
No! What's punctuality got with being mashed 24/7? No! Even the lowliest cocaine shoveler has to do 16 loop-the-loops in the Super G in-house vodka jelly shot sumo karaoke monorail, and all without spewing. You do that, and you're in.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Question two. What makes a good podcast?
I guess that would be quality?
Quality? Flip off? Podcasts fit into two categories. One's by famous people and others. Famous folk we love, even though interviewing their famous chums is a bit of a piss-easy cop-out. So the best of the others are podcasters who don't drown when we race them in the Daily Scuba Champagne Donkey Derby, don't break when we wear them like a pair of fat squishy slippers, and those who don't squeal, wince or pop when we do lewd things to them. Like really lewd things. Oh, forget Amsterdam. If they weren't too knackered from crying, the things we do to shite podcasters, ooh, it'd make their eyes water.
I see.
So no, you've balled up that question too. Right, last one. How do we decide which podcasters to give an advert to?
I guess it's some sort of clever algorithm based on data and downloads?
What? Are you a moron? No! As I just said, it's based on who's most famous. All of the adverts this week are going to the following podcasts. Chevy Chase's Heavy Racists, where he weighs fat fascists and taunts them with the knowledge that everything they're about to eat has probably been made by immigrants. Sting's Things Which Go Ping, a podcast about celebrity egg timers, as well as self-explanatory podcasts like Vernon Kay Plays in the Hay, David Suchet Shuffles Sachets, Snoop Doggy Dog Hogs the Duvet, and Emily Blunt repeatedly uses the word... Actually, I think we need to come up with a better title for that one. Oh, and my personal favourite, Brad Pitt's Down with the Squits. A chat with Brad and his famous pals about the hilarious times they could have shat through the eye of a needle. So, Mac, no job for you.
Goody, goody, goody. Book, book, book.
Oh, wait. The boss has just asked if you fancy a job as PJP First Class.
Yes, great. Sorry, what's a PJP First Class?
Ah, it's a key position in our podcaster Jenga Tower. And it's unpaid.
Oh. But if I do it, will I get an advert in my show?
You know, Mark, I don't know.
I see. So here's either an advert, a gap, or the sounds of me dying of hunger. Enjoy.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are were allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now back to our returning section called Doing Bird.
Wah, by Jingo. Tell me more about getting some prison sexy time. Wah.
No, we discussed that last week, Boris. And besides, I'm sure you'll be in prison soon enough.
Ah, but little Bojo needs a little prison BJ. Ooh, jolly hockey sticks. Here's an ill-thought-out plan which will almost certainly work. Arsenal are Magnus Canis Ploppus, which in Latin means Arsenal are doggy-doo. Wah! Yeah. Under Section 42 of the Posh Gets Getting Banged Up for Nookie Act, as Arsenal have been a bit shit of late, I can only charge you with being uncharacteristically honest, which for you is a crime against your own loathsome self. Wah 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 wah! Wah 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 wah! Ah, by Jingo! Huzzah for prison sex! It'll be like I'm back in Eton! Wah! Rather!
Boris, did you just deliberately get yourself arrested so you could go to prison to get some sex?
No, I definitely didn't. And that is a Bojo promise.
This week on Doing Bird, following our section on contraband, we'll be looking at what items you are legally allowed in your UK prison cell. Given that space is limited to 6 cubic feet per prisoner, most prisoners only have a single bed and a thin cupboard, which fits 2 average-sized boxes. And the 2013 Incentives and Earned Privileges Scheme has restricted many items. So what items are allowed? Number 1. Books. Each UK prisoner is allowed a total of 12 books in their cell, or 14 if you include a dictionary and the Bible or the Quran. And all books must be screened and vetted for unsuitable content, such as terrorism, racism, prison breaks, etc.
Wah! Here's my list. Book 1, The Kama Sutra.
Number 2, Birds. Dennis Nielsen kept 2 budgerigars in his cell at HMP Full Sutton. But only a few prisons allow this privilege for well-behaved long-term prisoners. But they are only allowed to keep the birds until it dies. Once it has expired, a new bird cannot be purchased.
Book 2. How to Speak English. Vide cor meum, bullshittus maximus.
Number 3. Craft supplies. Different prisons have different rules, but well-behaved prisoners are allowed craft supplies to aid their rehabilitation, such as paints, scissors, brushes, pens, pencils and scrapbooks. But no glue. Strictly no glue.
Book 3. Brexit for Dummies.
Number 4. Musical instruments. Well-behaved prisoners are allowed 1 instrument, limited to just a guitar, a harmonica, a recorder, or a flute.
I'd have a trumpet, as one loves blowing one's own trumpet. Thankfully, although I'm rather fat, I can actually reach.
Number 5. Games consoles. These are for prisoners who have earned the most privileges. Games consoles must not be able to connect to the internet, the games must not be 18 rated, and the consoles must not be publicly funded.
I'll just stick to strip poker. Bah! I've only got the Joker. How apt. I best take my pants off.
Number 6. Yoga mats. As of 2015, yoga mats have become standard issue in most prisons, regardless of behaviour, as it helps keep the prisoners calm.
And flexible, rather.
Number 7. Shin guards. Plastic shin guards to protect the prisoners during sports are allowed, as the less injuries there are, the less fights that occur, and also limits their time in the prison infirmary, owing to bumps and scrapes.
As well as carpet burns. By jingo!
And number 8, a television. Well-behaved prisoners are allowed a television at a cost of £1 per week, which is taken from their weekly allowance. But they are not allowed to watch it instead of doing their duties.
Bah! Hook me up some Swedish porn, eh?
Goody, 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 boot, boot.
Wah! Go, little Boudreau! Rise!
Boris, that's a news story about potholes.
Oh, rather. Well, to quote my Eton alma mater, a hole is a hole, by jingo!
But there are some innocent items which are also banned in UK prisons. Number 1. Chewing gum. Banned for 3 reasons. Firstly, it leaves a sticky mess on the floor.
Wah!
Shut up, Boris. 2. Prisoners can make an impression of a prison officer's keys. This is unlikely but possible. And 3. It can also be used to jam the locks on a prison door. Item number 2. Blue tack. This is banned for the same reasons, as are drawing pins. So if a prisoner does have a notice board in their cell, it's either a wipe clean board, or to pin things up, they have to use toothpaste as an adhesive. Number 3. Black or white clothing. For the first 6 months of incarceration, all prisoners wear prison-issue clothes. But if they are well-behaved, after this period of time, they can wear their own clothes. These must not include hoodies, and they cannot wear anything that is black or white. This is to stop them passing as a prison guard. Number 4. Sports strips. To limit any gang or group affiliations, all sports strips are banned, as this limits any argument or violence.
Unless they are Chelsea fans, then they deserve a right good kicking.
Number 5. Rechargeable items. To prevent prisoners from recharging mobile phones, which are banned in UK prisons, prisoners are banned from having any form of charger, and although they can purchase regular batteries from the prison shop, rechargeable batteries are banned. 6. Recording devices. Prisoners can buy radios, CDs and DVD players, but nothing which can record images or sounds, so any MP3 players are banned. Prisoners are also limited to 30 CDs each. And number 7. DVDs classified 18 certificate are banned. But if an 18 certificate film is broadcast on the television, the prisoner can watch it, just not if it's on a DVD, which makes no sense at all.
Wow! I've carted in my entire film archive, including Busty Brenda's Bollock Bonanza, Susie Mellon's Meets the Whopper Chopper, all of which I've starred in.
Sadly, the one item which is also banned in UK prisons is condoms. As although sex does happen, as it is banned, so is the most effective barrier against STDs. So for any prisoner who is bunked up with Boris, I wish you well.
Ooh, how retro. Let's go bareback, my little beauty. Rather.
Oh, and now, whilst Bojo gets his end away, let's crack open a new section called
Odd Deaths.
So how did he die? Well, that's the odd thing. This week, I'll give you a quick rundown of some very odd deaths from the UK and other places. In 1791, František Kocvára, the Czech violinist and composer, visited a prostitute called Susanna Hill in Vine Street, London. After a delightful dinner, he paid her 2 shillings to cut off his testicles. She declined his kind offer, having probably eaten too many pickled onions, so he tied a ligature around the doorknob and around his neck and strangled himself to the point of auto-asphyxiation, and mid-intercourse, he died. 1872. Henry Taylor, a pallbearer at Kensal Green Cemetery in West London, tripped over a stone whilst carrying a coffin, and as the 21-stone, solid walnut and brass coffin, complete with weighty corpse, slid forward, it fell on top of him and crushed the pallbearer to death. Oh, how ironic. In 1974, Dr. Basil Brown, during the birth of the fitness boom, the 48-year-old health food nut from Croydon in South London, died of liver failure after he drank 38 litres of carrot juice in 10 days, and also consumed 70 million units of vitamin A. It is said he believed that if he ate healthily, he could live forever. Winter 1999, 67-year-old kindly farmer Betty Stobes from Durham, England, was on her motorbike delivering bales of hay to her hungry sheep when the overexcited flock rushed her, knocked her backwards, she fell down a steep ravine, and her motorcycle crushed her to death. July 2008. Being the last resident to be evicted from a block of flats which were being demolished in Bishopstoke near Southampton, instead of leaving, to highlight how he felt about his forced eviction, 50-year-old David File decapitated himself with a chainsaw. And in 2008, at a cinema in Birmingham, 24-year-old Atif Rafiq died of heart failure when he bent down to pick up his phone and became wedged between the seat in front of him. And for those of you overseas, here's some more. July 2019. 60-year-old Eleanor Struthers Gardner was carrying a large drinking bottle with a 10-inch stainless steel straw, and as she walked through her kitchen, she unexpectedly passed out, collapsed to the floor, and the steel straw pierced her left eye and embedded into her brain, killing her outright. 2019. 62-year-old Salvatore Dissi from Hardando County in Florida was having trouble starting a helicopter, as you do, so instead of calling an engineer, he decided to jump-start it using a lawnmower. And as it started, the helicopter's fast-moving rotor blades cut off his head. 2018. 32-year-old Rajesh Maru of Mumbai was visiting a relative in Nair Hospital. An employee asked Rajesh to deliver a canister of liquid oxygen to a room fitted with an MRI scanner. Being highly magnetic, attracted to the metal object, and active, as Rajesh entered the room, the scanner pinned him to itself, crushing his chest bones, and broke open the bottle of liquid oxygen, most of which he ingested. He died instantly. 2017. 89-year-old Robert Dreyer crashed a car into a fire hydrant, and although it was gushing water, he managed to escape. But the destruction of the hydrant and the high pressure of the water caused a giant sinkhole to occur, which he fell into and drowned. 2016. 55-year-old Lottie Michelle Belk was taking a nice walk along the beach when a gust of wind whisked up a beach umbrella and propelled it at 25 miles an hour into her chest, stabbing her in the heart and killing her instantly. And 2015. Charmaine Maxwell, a member of the American R&B group Brownstone, was enjoying herself and drinking a nice glass of wine when she accidentally fell backwards. The glass she was holding landed behind her, smashed on the ground, and as she hit the ground, the glass shards pierced her neck and her jugular vein. She died of chronic blood loss. So if you enjoyed that, we'll have more odd deaths next week.
Wow, I almost broke my neck trying to suck my own...
Yes, thank you, Boris. Thank you. And now for
True Crime Swapsy Time,
where each week I share with you another True Crime podcast, which you might like or you might not. The choice is yours. Here's the clip.
Hey there. We are the True Crime Plagiarists. Ideas thieves, word pinchers, and copycats extraordinaire. We do no research. None. Zip. Zero. Nada. But because we're so successful, and millions of listeners always listen to us first, and that they think that every other podcast is ripping us off, Hmm? Clever. We are clever. I'm the self-obsessed narcissist who loves talking about myself. Me, 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 me. But enough about that. Let's talk about me. And this is my pointless friend, whose only job is to add glib comments.
That's stupid.
Crowbar in a catchphrase.
Say what?
And repeat everything I just said.
And repeat everything I just said. Ha ha, that's so funny.
Each week, I pick a less successful podcast, at random, and blatantly rip it off. Easy peasy. No work, all credit. That's my motto. And as I now make a fabulous living stealing other people's hard work, when it comes to giving credit and sharing my wealth, mum's the word. My bits are the waffly bits about me, obviously, which I say in a loud, excitable, and annoying way. My life is so amazing. Don't you wish you were me? And as for the uncredited quotes I stole from podcasters and journalists, I'll read in a dull and slow way, like I just printed them off Wikipedia. This week's podcast I'm ripping off is Murder Bastards. Have you heard of them? No? Good. So here goes. It sounds like they're saying there's a man called Richie Whist, I think. Or it could be Wurst or Rust. I don't know. Hang on. Oh, I missed that bit. Hang on, wind it back. Richie West. Yeah, and he killed... No, hang on. I missed that bit too. Oh, sod it. It's a two-parter. Listeners, tune back into our podcast on Thursday to find out more. Unless the Murder Bastard podcast is late, and then come back Friday. Or Saturday. Or whenever. I don't know. Anywho, we are the True Crime Plagiarists. We're lazy, because you don't know, don't care, and we know that. Okay, bye-bye.
And now, onto the final section of the show, called London Weirdos.
Here, mate.
Yeah, Geese?
I hear you've lost the plot.
Me? I'm a right loopy bastard, I am.
Lovely jabbly, me old Fruit Loop. Come on in. Just don't write your name in shit on me windows.
In November 2017, at the back of Morrison's supermarket in Southgate, North London, 44-year-old bungling robber Jason Kehoe was trying to work out what disguise to wear for the robbery he was about to commit. Nervously pacing back and forth, whilst wearing a jumper and a tacky blue tracksuit, Kehoe was unsure whether to wear a baseball hat and a hood to hide his face, which would have gone nicely and unnoticed on such a bright spring day, or whether he should wear his alternative disguise. Tough one. Having spent an hour racking his limited brains as to which disguise was best for an armed robbery, as the G4S security van he had planned to rob arrived, Kehoe sprang into action, having opted for Plan B. As the G4S security worker exited the van with a cash box containing £22,500, Kehoe pulled a 140-year-old loaded French revolver from his tracksuit and threatened the man to hand over the cash box. Whilst Kehoe was wearing, on his head and face, a pair of underpants, with his eyes peeping through the leg holes and his nose and mouth where the... Well, I think you can guess. Let's just hope that he washed them first and didn't borrow those underpants from an incontinent pal. Although terrified of being shot, the security worker resisted, wrestled with the pants-wearing robber, and as Kehoe ran away, with the cash box in his hand, his cunning disguise slipped, the leg holes no longer provided eye holes, and being temporarily blinded by a cotton gusset, the sprinting thief ran face first into a parked van, whacking his head on the aluminium side and almost knocking himself out cold. The security worker quickly called the police and activated the automatic protection system inside of the cash box, which poured thick and highly visible clouds of permanent blue dye across the money, making them unusable. And as Kehoe ran down the street, with the Underoo wearing raider's plan having gone to pot, He flung the cash box in a nearby canal and fled. And although he also tried to fling his bag and his gun into the canal, it missed and landed safely on the path, all of which contained his fingerprints and his DNA, but hopefully not some bum crusties. He admitted robbery and possession of a firearm and was jailed for a total of 7 years and 2 months. And although I'm sure 7 years in prison is probably not a pleasant experience, being known by other prisoners as a pants-wearing robber, and all the time being mercilessly ribbed on an almost daily basis, that must make his life inside prison utter pants. And now you know. So, my beloved friends, that was your weekly dose of Mini Mile. I hope it was a fun, silly, riveting, and an exciting companion to your regular Murder Mile. A big thank you this week to my new Patreon supporters, who are Dan Lawler, as well as my old and current Patreon supporters, anyone who's been on my Murder Mile walk, anyone who's left a review of Murder Mile, honestly, I read them all and they're very much appreciated, and everyone who enjoys the podcast and shares it with their friends. Murder Mile will be back next week. Love to you all. Tatty bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.